Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The NBA playoffs are here. And with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey folks, welcome to The Hang, live from Soho, London. This week, I'm hanging with Natalie May Paris. When we recorded this podcast, Natalie was about to end her reign as one of the longest-serving queens in Six. We're also going to talk about her incredible social media presence, how it always brings me joy and inspiration. Natalie May Paris, welcome to The Hang.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, we're going to hang. Today, you said you were recording. Is that a...
I was, yeah.
Is it something, like you say, for functions, gigs around, is this post Six, which we'll get into?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. I mean, a lovely guy called Dale, he contacted me. He's got a band called the West End Function Band.
Well, that's great. What kind of material will you be doing?
It's all sort of, well, I mean, the promo was Somebody Else's Guy by Jocelyn Brown, which I just love that song anyway. And all just like fun pop songs that I guess you'd hear at a wedding or, an event, something like that. All good stuff.
Well, I know you're going to bring the joy because if anyone follows you on Instagram, anytime I look you up, or whether it's Instagram or YouTube, I end up going down a rabbit hole for quite some time. I'm such a fan, and I truly am that. And I remember when I reached out to you originally, it was because I went down this over an hour rabbit hole listening to you sing on YouTube, and it was your version of Castle on the Cloud.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was like, I didn't know I needed this in my life.
So silly.
But it was something really special about you. You're such an amazing artist, and there's something, I don't know, within you internally, your voice, your musicality. You have a lot of class about how you approach this as an actress. Where did that all come from? What's your background?
Oh my gosh. I mean, ever since I can remember, I've just always sung and just like made up shows with my brother, forced my brother into it, and all my friends like make up shows of me in the house and for my parents. I've always sung. I remember my parents are musicians. My dad's a double bass player, classical double bass player, and my mum, she used to sing and she used to teach violin and stuff, but she never like did that as her main career, but she worked in the same orchestra as my dad. So I've been surrounded by music and like a variety of different styles of music my whole life. They love jazz music and soul music. So I've always been brought up in that world. Mm-hmm. And then one day I was actually obsessed with Annie, and I used to sing it all the time. I think they were doing like a local production of it, and I begged my parents. I was like, please let me audition to be an Annie. Like, I loved it so much. And it was a new world for them too, because they didn't really know musical theatre. So I just did this local production, and it just sort of went from there, really. But I've just always loved it. I've loved singing and performing and all of that. I tried the violin, but I was a mute when I was a child. I was so shy, really, really shy. And my mum's friend actually used to teach me the violin, and my mum said that I used to turn up and not even say hello. I just sort of and play the violin and sort of leave. And they said that I was really good, but I just didn't enjoy it. I don't know why. And my mum used to try and help me because she taught violin, but we used to just clash and I just gave up. And then I tried the piano because I'd love to play the piano, but I just lost all my patience with it. I just wanted to know like how to do everything. And I didn't have the patience.
Yeah, the beginning.
I regret that now.
You
got to
go through those boring bits. And I know. The repetition.
Yeah.
Is that something you would take up now, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can hear chords and like guess them and sort of like figure stuff out, but I couldn't say I can play the piano. I wish I could.
Do you think you inherited such a good musical ear? Because some of the runs and riffs that you do, like it's beautiful and it's so, you can't teach that. Is that something you think you picked up from your parents?
I mean, maybe. I mean, it must be in me through them because they're so musical, and my dad's dad was musical and my mum's dad was musical. So it definitely runs in the family. So yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
So where did you end up training? Did you train?
I did, yeah. I was quite lucky to do some stuff in the West End when I was young, and from there I met a girl who went to Italia Conti, and she used to tell me all about it and tell me that she used to spend half the day singing and dancing, and then she'd come and in the show that we were in together, and then the other half of the day was academics, and I was like, this is incredible. So I begged my parents, I was like, please let me audition for stage school, cringe. And they weren't really sure at first. They were like, oh, I was at quite a good school at the time, and I was like, please, I really want to go. And it was in London as well, so I would have had to have travelled. But they let me audition, and I got in. And so I went like halfway through year seven. So I went to Italia Conti for pretty much all of my school years, really.
So you were travelling in daily?
Yeah, every day.
Because we're local, aren't we, you and I?
Yeah, we are, neighbours.
Essex, right?
Yeah.
So you were picking the red line every day, central line?
The central line every day. And it was really lucky because my dad's orchestra is based in the Barbican, which is where Italia Conti was. So
perfect.
A lot of the times it would sort of add, like he would be able to take me in and then just hop across the road to work. So
just Monday to Friday?
Monday to Friday. Mm.
What kind of hours were that?
I don't know, half eight till four.
See, that's the problem. Like I forget that back then you have an abundance of energy. I'm placing myself in those hours now, going, oh my god,
I wake up
so early.
Yeah.
By the time you get back, the quick turnaround, you're back to bed.
I know. Yeah, it was a lot, but I loved it.
Well, that was the social life as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, and just being with like people that loved the same thing as you, and you were all there because you know, you love performing in some sort of aspect. So, yeah, and all my friends were so, like, they had to do academics all day and I was off singing and dancing for half the day. It was great.
How long before your parents were like, all right, this is okay?
I think after, like, the first term, once I really settled in, and I think once they felt comfortable with the journey and all of those things, then they were like, you know, they've always supported me. They were happy that I was happy. So, yeah.
That's just it, right? You got to chase the joy, chase the passion.
I know, yeah.
So what did you do before that in the West End? You said, so you were a child actor?
Yeah, I did Les Mis twice. Chitty Bang Bang.
I remember.
I think you were in it.
I know, we talked about this.
Yeah, we did.
What year?
Oh my God, I have no idea. The first time I was eight. Oh my God, I was eight. That's so young.
Well, so if you were eight, that means I was still an adult in the show. So how old is that?
I'm trying to work out. I'm terrible at maths. I'm trying to work out how many years ago that would have been.
Was I Andras?
I think so.
Oh,
do you know what? I've actually got a memory book of all the shows that I did. I've got two memory books where I had pictures with everyone. So I'll try and dig them up and see if I can find them.
That's amazing if that's the case. Because we have another connection too. You did a Sunday course somewhere. Wasn't I part of that?
Michael Xavier's, it was called West End Masterclass.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the one time I
was
there.
And you did a workshop.
That's right.
Yes.
That's crazy.
I know. I remember when they announced you were coming in, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, I've got to be really good.
I'm just sat here thinking, how old am I? Okay, so obviously we got to jump into six, and I'm trying to bridge the gap between where we left off to six, because six has been a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like it's worldwide.
Been wild.
And I'm embarrassed to say I still haven't seen it, and I promise I'm going to do my best.
It's
every time I like make a plan, life goes, you're going to do this.
Yeah.
But I want to try and see you, because at this point when we're talking, you got 4 weeks left.
4 weeks, yeah.
What is it about that show? Why is it taken off? It's like it speaks to a generation, but I think all ages do enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most incredible thing, is that a lot of it has been the new generation, the millennials, whatever you want to call them, social media, you know, all of that sort of age of people. It has been heavily them. They're the fans. But, you know, there's people of all ages who are fans of the show, which makes it even more special, because it's empowering. It's feel good. It's in some way relatable to, I think, every single human being that can come and watch the show in some way.
Okay.
And I think that's the magic of it, is that it's not just for like the young, new fans of musical theatre. It's for everyone, and everyone that loves live theatre. And I think it makes people feel safe as well, and quite accepted in its message. So I think that's why it sort of speaks to a lot of different people.
Well, and we absolutely need that more than ever, because I feel sometimes we're regressing, and I'm like, what is going on in the world? It just, so as an actor here, I'm interested in the process of that. So was it just a random, your agent goes, there's this new show, were you there from the workshop stages?
I was there from the workshop. And I've always felt like I've been somewhere in between, like, the pop world and musical theatre. I've always felt like I've sort of never quite known where I fit.
Which is perfect.
Yeah.
You're one of a kind, Natalie.
Oh, stop. I just got this, as you do, like, this brief from my agent that said they're looking for, there's a new show and they're looking for, like, pop-y singers. And it's about Henry VIII's wives, but like a Beyonce pop concert. And I was like, huh? What? Like, what is this concept?
So no one had heard of the show. No, you know, because sometimes there's a buzz about...
No, nothing. I knew nothing.
Okay.
And they just said, bring a pop song. And I was like, fantastic. That's really up my street. So...
What'd you bring?
If I Ain't Got You by Alicia Keys.
Very nice. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
So I just sort of went in, not really thinking anything, just sort of... sung the song, and they were all really lovely, and the two writers were in the room, I remember. And you know, normally when you go into an audition, it's so scary and people don't really give anything away. And after I finished, they were so lovely and they clapped, and I was like, what is happening? Like, this is so bizarre. I just got a really nice feel. And then they called me back, and even at that point we were just sort of learning choreography to I think it was a Christina Aguilera song, and we saw a tiny bit of the first bit of the text of the show, and it's hilarious now to think of people's interpretation of what it actually is. And then we just sung another pop song, and it was so sort of like chill. I still didn't really know much about it. And then they called me in again, and they said, there was another girl there, and they said, can you just both come in? And they gave us a chorus of Heart of Stone, which is what I actually sing. And they said, we're just going to note bash it, if you could just quickly learn it in the room and sing it. So we did that. And then they gave me a little monologue. And there were a few other people there, and we were all looking at the monologues, like just going over it in our head. And they called us all in. And I remember a few of the other girls went first, like Amy Atkinson. She did one of the speeches, and it was so funny. And then Christina Modestu was there too, and
you're
she
doing this in front of each other.
Yeah, it was all in front of each other. She got up and did a monologue, and again it was so funny, and I was thinking, mine's definitely not funny. And I was like, I've just completely messed this up, I've completely got this wrong, I meant to be funny and I didn't think this is funny. And I was really like, because we didn't know. And I thought, go with the gut. So I did my monologue, which was completely different. Left. And I remember I called my mum, and I was like, Mum, I don't think I've got it. I think I've messed it up. I think I was meant to be funny and I wasn't funny. And, you know, and I just, even though I knew nothing about the show, I just loved being in there in the room with those people, that the creatives. And I was like, I really want this.
It's the process that makes you exciting. Because you're like, I still don't know what this is, but I want to work with these people and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And they were just so lovely and so, like, just different to any audition experience that I'd had before. So I got it. And then we started to learn about the show, and I was like, this is incredible. It was amazing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Did they ever talk to you? Did you ever speak to them about, hey, about that monologue? Was it meant to be funny?
Well,
and I obviously haven't seen it, so is it meant to be funny?
No, it's not.
Perfect. So your instinct was right.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one that like brings the tone down and gives it heartfelt. But one of the producers, Andy, actually, I remember we had to, the first time we all met each other, we had to do this photo shoot at the Tower of London and nobody really knew each other and it was all sort of, hi, it was just all a bit weird. And Andy was there and he said something about the monologue and he was like, that was one of the reasons that they gave me the job. And I was like, oh my God, thank God. Because I was so in my head about that monologue. And he was like, no, it was exactly what they wanted.
So let's talk about that monologue. Why do you think you doubted yourself? Only because you were comparing. So comparison's a thief of joy. So if you hadn't seen them, you would have been...
I would have just gone in there and done it. But it's very witty. The writing is so witty and clever and... everything's in the writing. You don't really have to, obviously you have to do a lot, but as in like it's all there. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. They're incredible writers, and the writing was just genius, and I just got in my head and thought, I don't know, I mean, now that I look back, I don't know why I even thought it would be funny, because it's very clearly not funny, but you just do, don't you?
Well, I guess you saw other people on nerves take over the driver's seat. So when you get a monologue, did you have time, or they gave it to you on the day?
On the day, yeah.
So how did you prepare? Do you have a process of how you break down a monologue? Is there a go-to thing you do, knowing that, okay, I got 20 minutes, so I'm going to just look for these points?
I think I just read it through a few times so I could sort of like, as if I was reading a book, as if like how I would interpret it, like just reading it. And then, I don't know, I just try and put it into myself and think, how would I say that as me? And then... try and bring that. I don't really have a method, and also with that amount of time when it's just given to you, I was just a bit like, you know, just go with the gut. So really.
No, that's
not really
great.
Much help, is it?
I think that is important, how you just read it like a book, and you just, like you say, with such time constraints, you allow your instinct, your own personal opinion to come in at that point, because you gotta be brave, and I think confidence sells, right? So whatever gave you that clarity for that moment. It could be completely different once you're through the gates, you know?
Yeah.
So you, after that, it was for the workshop. So you did the photo shoot even in the workshop stages, or was the photo shoot post-workshop?
The photo shoot, no, was before the workshop.
Wow.
Yeah, it was sort of, I remember it being in the newspaper and we all just all looked so
mismatched. But that was just for a
workshop. Yeah, but it had a bit of buzz about it. And I mean, it was a workshop, but it was still a production at the Arts Theatre. But it was like, there was no set. I remember the costume that I was in was like from Zara. Like we did have a costume designer. So, I mean, they call it the workshop stage, but it wasn't just like in a room, let's workshop it. It did feel like a rehearsal process and it was a performance.
So you had an audience?
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah, I think we did 5 or 6 performances of it.
For an audience. So I could have bought tickets.
Yeah. But no one really knew about it. It was just...
social media.
Yeah. And I think the ad that was in the ad, it wasn't an ad, whatever it was in the newspaper, and it was spoken about a little bit. And even at that point, we didn't think it would become what it was. Like, after the first performance, we just all went upstairs and we were like, it's quite good really, isn't it? It's pretty special, yeah.
That's great. I love those sort of... You do certain things, you're like, I don't know how this is going to be, but you're vulnerable with it and you're like, oh, well, yeah, we're going to do our best. We'll throw it all in there and see what happens.
Yeah. And it was my first, like, job as an adult. I was just grateful to have got a job. I was gigging for so many years, so I was sort of out of the musical theatre world. And I was just so thankful that somebody had given me a job, because I know how hard it is, especially when... you know, I didn't really take the traditional route to go into it. So, yeah, I was just so excited to just do something. I had no idea it would be this.
Well, you strike me as someone who's always going to have that sense of gratitude, because, like myself, we've come from different ways to get into business. There's not one right way to do it. There's many ways. And I think hard work and grit will always keep you lasting, and a good attitude and gratitude. What's your character's name, if you don't mind me asking?
Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour, that's right.
Yeah.
Because I saw it on your Instagram. You had like a t-shirt. Did someone make that?
Oh my God, a fan. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Makes these incredible t-shirts.
Like, that was amazing.
So cool, isn't it?
How that's not like merch.
I think it is. I think it's on Etsy, maybe.
Oh, but it's her designs.
Yeah. And she does them for quite a lot of shows.
Is she allowed to do that?
I mean...
is there a copyright issue?
Yeah, I mean, because it's like pictures that we've taken for our social media.
Oh, yeah.
So
there's no copyright on social media. Once it's out there. No, buy her stuff. She's great.
Yeah.
So Natalie May Paris, Jane Seymour.
Yeah.
You've had time with her, so it wasn't just 20 minutes. And I don't want to ask too much to give away, because I like to be a big difference between the person and the character. But how much do you think is there similarities between you two? Or did you then start researching and getting into the whole world that, oh, she's nothing like me? And you got to explore your imagination.
I mean, I think it's a bit of both. Obviously, they're real women that lived. But it's because we're not playing them as the legit queens set when they were alive. So we did a lot of research to find out about the women who were incredible, which I didn't know anything about any of them. But because it's sort of set now, and it's sort of, it's like we've come back and we're these like new versions of the queens in a way. I feel like there's a lot of me in the character, because we got to create them, which was amazing. But obviously there's the essence of Jane, and how Toby and Lucy have written the characters in the way that they are in their songs and how they're portrayed. But we've got to like add ourselves. So I do think it's like a combo of me and Jane together.
And with, because 3 years you've been doing it, right?
Yeah.
3 years of your life.
3 years.
And it's been an incredible time. It must feel fresh all the time, because unfortunately we had the pandemic. There was stop starts all the time.
Yeah.
You've moved theaters. You went basically off West End to West End.
Mm-hmm.
So it always felt like you're probably going forward and renewing it and re-energizing it.
Yeah.
And with any long run, even like when I've done an 18-month stint as Valjean, how it starts and how it finishes, my intentions were always the same, but you just grow. Things, your opinion sometimes on a lyric changes with experience. Have you found that with Jane?
Yeah. If I think about how I used to sing the song to how I sing it now, obviously, like you said, all the intentions are the same, but you just find so many more things to discover.
Yeah.
And also because our alternates go on quite a lot, I've had a cast change, and that changes things, because somebody brings something different and you're sort of playing off with them. And because I've had various different times to sort of re-rehearse the show, I guess.
Yeah.
And Lucy, who's one of the writers, but our director too, we've looked at that song so many times, but each time I just find something new or try something different. So it does feel it doesn't feel like, oh my God, here we go again. Do you know what I mean? I'd still enjoy singing the song.
I don't think you'll ever say that. You don't strike me as someone who will be like that, you know?
I mean, don't get me wrong, some days I'm exhausted, but...
Yeah, physically being tired is different to not wanting to do it or taking it for granted or, you know, when you're tired, it's tough. I've always said, you know, I'll always, if I feel 60%, you're going to get 100% of that 60%, but it's all I got today.
Yeah,
well, do
it's
whatever.
All I got to give.
Yeah, it's hard, you know, it takes, it's, 8 shows a week is, it's, you're athletes.
Yeah, yeah, and we don't leave the stage the whole time. So it's, I think people think because it's short, it's easy, but it's
nonstop. No, of course it is. So how does it feel knowing you got 4 weeks? And by the time this probably comes out, maybe it will still, it's going to be close. So are you ready? Are you scared?
All of the above. I'm ready. I think it's been amazing and I'm so grateful for the last 3 years. Like, I genuinely never would have thought I'd be in this situation. But I'm ready to go. It's been a long time. I'm ready to move on and try something new. And but I'm also scared because it's been like my safety blanket for the last however many years. Just all the feelings. But I think I am ready to sort of close the door now and just take the risk.
You're going to cry.
I am.
I cry when every time I leave a role.
Really?
Yeah. And I have to say, I'm like, I'm going to be fine. And come to the end of the show, I'm like, God, no, it's coming. I don't know, because you invest so much.
Yeah.
Again, I feel similar in some respect with you. We put almost every ounce of our physicality in it. It becomes... Mm-hmm. Like a child, like a brother, sister, father, whatever the character is, you know, and the connections you make with the people, and it is scary because that's your routine, that's been your life.
Yeah.
Not to make this harder for you, you're going to be amazing. Yeah, everything's going to be fine.
No, I know. Do you know what? My song is the worst as well because it's like the sad song. So if I'm feeling at all vulnerable, it's just the worst song to be singing, so I know I'm going to be a wreck. I know I am. I've just prepared myself for it.
Oh, good. And allow yourself to be vulnerable. People want it. That's what people love. That's why it's probably the show and yourself are so relatable. And because with social media, and we'll get to your social media, which I think is the most joyful thing I ever look at.
Oh,
it brightens my day. But the show itself has got quite a
massive following.
I think it's been part of its success as well.
Yeah.
Knowing that's the day and age we live in now, you either, some people don't have to do it, but some people know how to. I don't feel like you had to do it. It was just you knew how to get people involved and get people interacting. And it's, how's that been for your personal sanity when it comes to social media? Because I'm sure there's a lot of good and there's always a flip side to
it. I mean, it was very overwhelming. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just... It was just a lot. Before I got six, I just sort of, I don't really use Twitter. I think Twitter can be a bit of a scary place. But Instagram, I've always sort of used, but I've always just used it for like, just me doing me. Do you know what I mean? I was private. I didn't really think too much into social media. And then when six sort of became a bit of a thing and we were getting all these followers, I was like, oh my God, people want to follow me. And I was like, all the girls kept saying, I think you should make yourself on private. And I was like, okay. And I'd sort of tipped myself off private and people were saying the loveliest things and we'd always try and reply to them and people would want messages, like birthday messages, and we'd always try and do them. And we were just sort of like, wow, this is incredible. These a lot of the time young people who are finding themselves through their love of the show and they tell us that they found a friendship or they felt accepted through what we were doing. And we were just like, this is incredible. And then the bigger the show got, the more and more of that sort of happened, which again was amazing. But it just sort of, I just feel like I blinked and all of a sudden I had all these followers and as much as they are lovely and we're so lucky that we have an incredible queendom, we call them, it's overwhelming because you sort of then have a responsibility to sort of, make sure you're setting some sort of an example and saying the right thing and doing the right thing. And you know, to them, we were inspiring them, but, you know, we're only human too, and we're still finding our feet, and, you know, we want to help them, but that's also not our job. And, you know, but we try. So it was all of that was quite overwhelming, because we wanted to do the right thing and we were grateful for the support, but we didn't have any guidance in how to like navigate that, I guess.
It's a good point. And I don't think there is enough guidance out there, because especially now after the 18 months and continually dealing with the pandemic, people are so vulnerable, and I don't think people are themselves, and not to their own fault, but just, we didn't know how to navigate a pandemic.
Yeah.
So, you know, if people use, and this is why entertainment and arts is beautiful, because people can lose themselves, but the way they're losing themselves now might be different than how they normally would. Mm-hmm. But again, it's no fault of anyone's. It's just dealing with life as it is.
Yeah.
And everything is so divided with whatever. Even gas, you have to line up for gas so much. I don't understand what's happening.
Oh my gosh.
You wouldn't go out anymore. I can't drive. I got no gas.
Yeah.
So how do you, like that, when you say you have that sense of responsibility, I know what you're saying about that. And I find that a struggle, because I think, no, well, it's not my responsibility. I'm just an actor. But then if you sit by the pool, you're going to get wet. We're on Instagram and it's, but then if you're going to, I guess it's finding that balance. So how do you feel about having that responsibility? Do you? You do it well. Again, if you look at your Instagram, how are you so... First of all, how many weddings have you gone to this year?
Oh, do you know what? Everyone keeps saying that to me. Only two. But there was like a million hen-dos.
Oh, it's the hen-dos I'm looking at.
Yeah, okay. That were like, because of the pandemic, that things had to change. So everyone said that to me. Oh my God, you've been so many hen-dos and weddings. I was like, it's only two. Only two.
Okay, my second question after that, I'm like, where do you get the energy? You were like non-stop.
I know.
You never look tired. You always look like a million bucks. I sent you that message. Oh. I'm like, what is this $1 million filter you got? It's just like, but it's not a filter. It's your joy that comes out of it. Yeah. Your energy comes, and your group of friends, whoever you're around, you all seem to be, you have like a great life and great people around you.
Oh, I mean, I am very lucky. I think I finally sort of came to the conclusion with social media that I have to still be me and I can't sort of filter who I am. But at the same time, I want to be the best version of me that I can be, because of how much influence I sort of have on people that follow me. So it took a while to sort of feel comfortable. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I just want to throw my phone away and I don't want to go on it because I don't want to get consumed in it. But I just try not to be anything but me on social media and just hope that, you know, that people like it, me for me. And I feel like I'm always quite a happy, positive person. So what you 100%. See is sort of what you get.
Absolutely. And you are.
You know?
What do you think now? Like, what's your ambitions? What does Natalie want?
Oh my gosh.
Because you're a phenomenal actress.
Oh,
and that's based on things I've seen. We did that. What was that BBC thing we did? I remember watching you and the whole group. Six stood out so well because you just look like you were having a great time. You're all in the upstairs, the dress circle,
and
we recorded that thing. But you guys all tell great stories, and you are no exception. You're a great storyteller. So do you have a mental list of, you know, and I hate this question. People are like, what roles have you want to play? Well, I just want to work and do interesting stuff. But is there a specific role that you want to check off? Like, I know Annie could still be on the cards.
I mean, I'd probably be Miss Hannigan now, wouldn't I? Annie's time has come and gone.
I'll be your daddy. What is it? The Daddy Warbucks?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, don't edit that on. I'll be your daddy.
I know, cut. Yeah.
I was like, what's the name? Say something.
I used to sort of... I've always wanted to be in Les Mis as an adult, because like 8-year-old me, that was a dream. But I feel like after doing Six and being able to sort of like create a role, it's made me think that, I don't know, there's not one that I feel like I could say that's my dream role and that's, I need to achieve that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I think there's so many different avenues that I'd love to explore that I feel like I can't really say this is what I want to do next, because there's a few things that I'd love to try and do and sort of see what happens.
Well, one of those things is not, this is because I'm not hip. Do I say Seven London or SVN London or Sven London?
I think we're SVN now.
SVN?
SVN.
Mm-hmm. Just SVN?
Just SVN, yeah.
You guys are a band officially. You're releasing songs and the songs have been amazing. Last one wasn't the Queen one. There's one more after that, right?
Yes. Well, we did a drive-in and we sang two of our original songs there.
Who's writing your songs?
We do.
Really? Yeah. What about the music? Who?
Well, we were working with a guy called Aidan who produced the tracks, but we sort of wrote the melodies and the lyrics, and then he put the beats and everything to match it. So
you have like songwriting sessions? You sit down, okay, girls, yeah, we're gonna all get together, Aidan.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Start with blank pieces of paper and just
go, literally,
I have this idea.
Had an idea. Somebody had our very first song came from when we did our reunion show, which at the time was just a reunion show. Mm-hmm. I remember filming Lex, who plays Cleves. She's hilarious. And she's always making things up. She's always singing and rapping and like just sort of making random stuff up all the time. It's so funny. And I had a video where I filmed her just like improvising, being silly. And when we decided to do like our first writing session, I was like, there's this line that Lex was improvising. And I was like, I think that could be really cool, like as a starting point to create a song. So we listened to this one little bit over and over again, and the first song just sort of then came from that little bit of inspiration.
All it takes, but that's all it takes, and that's why group songwriting is great, because sometimes I can't write a lick on my own. Then you sit down with someone, it's like, oh, that's a good idea, and then suddenly it opens the floodgates.
Yeah, and it was amazing because how much we bounced off each other and worked with each other. I think sometimes too many cooks, you know.
Yeah.
But actually, it was like, it just really worked. Everything just sort of fell into place. And yeah, it was so fun. It was so fun.
So who's managing it?
Well, we don't technically have a manager. We wanted to sort of do it ourselves for as long as we could. Mm-hmm. And obviously we knew that everyone has had to go back into their shows and finish off their contracts, and everyone's doing amazingly well, which is amazing. And because it sort of went somewhere that none of us thought it would go, it was all sort of a bit of a whirlwind. So at the moment, everyone's sort of having to finish their contracts and everything. But hopefully there's some things in the pipeline for the new year when everyone finishes.
So I guess you guys put out some plans like, okay, well, this would be good to do once we can get together.
Yeah.
And what about editing the videos, your styling, the BTS stuff you guys do with the backstage?
I mean,
do you have a team around you?
Yeah, I mean, we sort of all do it ourselves, but we have amazing people that come in. So one of the girls, Grace, her boyfriend does most of the filming. Great. Bless him, he's always there just capturing everything.
It makes a difference though, because then you guys don't have to worry about that.
And yeah.
What's the boyfriend's name?
Josh.
Josh does an amazing job because he really captures, like when I watch these, I'm like, man, he's catching the moments as well, and the energy, and it's really pops off really well.
Oh, thank you. And it's, again, it's like, that is who we are, and that is how we genuinely get on, and we have the best time together. So it was just fun. And we, you know, lockdown was a horrible time, but actually if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have done it. So,
and that's inspired me. And like watching you girls, ladies, women do that and put that together with the Patreon, I was like, that's great, because it's a great way to bring your fans to one place, supporters to one place. It's a safe space. So, you know, because a lot of cyberbullying goes on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and stuff. So here, most likely won't happen because you're going somewhere for a certain reason.
Yeah.
So that's what inspired me to kind of put this app together and start doing stuff like this. So you guys are even inspiring the old boy here, you know? And it's great. I'm glad you guys are going strength to strength, and I hope you guys keep doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, hopefully.
Who's Flo?
Flo?
Is your car called Flo?
Oh my gosh. How did you find that?
I got a team now. We find stuff out.
Oh my God, Flo, my car. I've actually got a new car now.
Flo's gone?
Flo went. Flo lasted a good 9 years.
Atta girl, Flo.
I know, she was great, but she was like a tin can. My dad, for the last however, however many years, has always said to me, I actually worry about you in that car because it's like a toy car. Every bump is just... But she lasted me well.
She was fun.
She's done well. But yeah, we had to say goodbye to Flo.
Okay. Well, I really hope that one day there's so much more we could talk about.
I
will. But I wanted that conversation to come after. Hopefully, I'll be blessed to be able to sing with you one day.
Yeah, me too. Oh my God, I'd love that.
I'm a massive fan. And I think you are amazing. I know it's going to be sad, but also the next 4 weeks is going to be incredible for you and the show.
Mm-hmm.
And long may the show run, because it's not closing, right?
No, I've got an amazing new cast.
So I'm going to try and come see it before, hopefully this week. But I know there's going to be amazing stuff for you after this.
Oh, thank you.
I like that you don't sit still. You're, like you say, you're diversifying your passion. And you're going for things that make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you happy on Instagram makes us happy. Because when I'm feeling down, look at Natalie May Paris on Instagram and you'll be laughing just like
that's
she is
so
now.
That's so funny. Thank you.
So real quick, what made you smile today?
Oh, I bumped into a friend and it was lovely to see him. We had a good laugh.
Amazing. And a first childhood memory that comes to your mind and makes you smile?
Doing... probably because we were talking about it, that's why it's popped into my head, doing a rendition of Fame as a two-person show in my living room as me and my brother playing all the characters.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Playing make-believe never goes away, does it?
I loved it.
You still do it, don't you?
Well,
like, you know, daydream.
Get all the friends involved.
Yeah, we daydream all the time. Listen, we're still playing dress-up for a living.
It's true, yeah.
Natalie, I adore you.
Thank you for having me.
See you soon. You've been listening to The Hang. I am Ramin Karimloo. The Hang is produced by Mercy Productions and Desert Highway and recorded at Soho Live Studios. Check out my new app. Go to ramin.fan.direct. where you can find brand new content, giveaways, and exclusive news. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.